thought that was the song, didn't you? I'm an idiot. Welcome to episode one of my brand new podcast, Spellbound. Julian Smith here. This is an exploration of the biggest ideas of our time, from money to religion to science and technology. This stuff was super boring to me in high school, but I recently turned 30, and so my standards for entertainment have plummeted. Not the case. But my eyes have recently opened to some of the unconscious agreements I've made with myself and this world. We're all under spells like this in some way, shape, or form, whether we know it or not. In fact, your very ability to speak is like magic when you think about it. Your every word is a spell. That's why we call the act of making up words spelling. Careful what you do with that. My first guest on Spellbound is Mr. Andrew Rader. Thank you for being here, Andrew.
Thank you, Julian.
Andrew is one of the smartest people I've ever met. He's a mission manager at SpaceX, which basically means you're a rocket scientist, right? That would be accurate, right?
Well, I don't know that there's such a thing as a rocket scientist, but rocket engineer.
But to the lay people like myself, you're a rocket scientist.
I suppose
so. Don't shatter the illusion, Andrew. Just go with it. Embrace it. You're a rocket scientist. You're a Mars One candidate, right? So you're potentially going to Mars one day?
Maybe. I would like to go to Mars. I think
I would
all do it. Yeah. I think there's a good chance that a lot of people are going to Mars.
Yeah. I mean, if you had it your way, everyone would go to Mars.
No, a really small percentage of the population of Earth should go to Mars. Mars is not a place that everyone on Earth should go to. It's kind of more like a backup plan. We should make it eventually a second Earth, but it's not. Earth is still pretty good.
I'm not sure if I ever told you this, but it's really serendipitous the way that you and I met, Andrew, because the week that we met, I was thinking about starting this podcast, and one of the topics I was really curious about was space exploration. I started reading about quantum theory in 2011, and that kind of ignited a journey for me that I've been on for a long time, just asking questions about science and physics. And then I meet you the week I'm thinking about starting this podcast, and I was like, well, he has to be my first guest. It's a sign. Although I should give people a heads up that we're not talking about space today. We're actually talking about something different, but we'll have to have you back to talk about space at some point. You're also an author. You've written a couple books. I recently read Leaving Earth. It's a book about why we need to just send settlers to Mars and not try to bring them back. And it's brilliant. You're also a YouTuber. Are you still posting there?
Yeah, now and then. I don't have a lot of time for it, but yeah.
Too busy with the rockets. I just like saying rockets. Sorry, I'll stop. Yeah, you're just an all-around interesting guy. You know way too much for your own good. You have your PhD from MIT in human spaceflight. You were on Canada's, what's that show called you were on?
Yeah, I won Canada's Greatest Know-It-All.
Yeah, which basically means they titled you the smartest person in Canada.
Well,
basically
the greatest know-it-all in Canada. I don't know if that's the same as smartest.
You're the smartest person in Canada, and you're a rocket scientist. Just give it to me, Andrew. Just go with it. Just go with it. He's blushing right now. If you could see him, his face is so red. Yeah, and I wanted to have you on today to talk about, Andrew and I were talking about America. America is the most independent place in the world. We're the most individualistic nation in the world. We're going to be looking at kind of what it means to be an American, where some of the ideas we get about America come from, and how that affects our everyday life here in different ways. Just take it away. Let's just jump right in.
Yeah. So I'm from Canada.
Yeah. So you're not qualified for starters.
Right. So America is sort of number one in a lot of ways. America likes to say they're number one, and they really are in a lot of ways. But America
is every way. You're going to piss off the listeners.
America's a very strange country in a lot of ways, and it all goes back to the American Revolution. One of the really interesting things is the American colonies. There were 13 colonies during the American Revolution. This is back in 1776. And the American colonies were kind of people from Britain who moved over, and other Europeans as well. And they came over to America. And when they got here, they saw, hey, these people are great. Why are these people unhappy with their governance? These people are the wealthiest people in the world that we've ever seen. They're the freest people that we've ever seen.
They're saying this to Americans.
Yeah, to Americans. And they're unhappy. Also, there was, religious persecution, like Plymouth, the Pilgrims, right? Came over to basically found their own community. And they were the first ones to have religious freedom, but not because they wanted the separation between church and state, but it's actually because they didn't want the state to interfere with the church. So they wanted protection for the church. So it's kind of the opposite of the way we think about it today.
America in its infancy was never really happy. And you could argue that we've only wanted more and more freedom.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's
and
this
more and
constant
more everything in general.
Right. There's this constant drive for freedom in America, which is good. Like that's definitely a good thing. I mean, America has certain things that it's an outlier in that are really good. I mean, I'm here for a reason. It's very entrepreneurial. I feel like it's a really good place to start a business. It's sort of motivating in a sense. American is driven by this competitive drive, right? It's highly capitalist and it's driven by achievement. First people to land on the moon. Invented the airplane. Americans have the most patents per capita and most inventions. So America's kind of this.
Well, the patents just mean we're stingy and selfish.
Well, I mean that too, but that is what drives innovation is capitalism, right? You have to be able to own it or else someone else is going to steal it. And then what's the point of it at all? Right. Yep. So you do have this contention between forces. If you have like too much socialism, then there's no incentive to actually do anything yourself, right? Because property rights are the fundamental basis of Western civilization. Like you have to be able to own something in order to profit from it, in order to be able to want to do it.
Right.
Right. Otherwise, you don't do anything at all.
Say that again. Say that one more time.
Property rights are the fundamental basis of Western civilization.
Property rights.
Yeah. If you have to be able to own something distinct and then you care about it, you care about things you own.
Right.
Like otherwise it's the tragedy of the commons. So like if in England they had like these fields and all the farmers would bring their cows to graze on. And what's the incentive to not let your cow just eat all the grass? None. Everyone owns the field, right? So you might as well just let your own cow eat as much grass as possible. So the fact that it's communally owned means that you're going to destroy it. And that's the problem with global warming. It's the problem with the environment with the earth today. No one owns the environment.
Right.
So everyone has some tiny little incentive to protect it. Everyone, we're all going to die if the earth, goes to shit. But no one has a massive incentive to protect it. You know, this is why Republicans and libertarians even sort of are in favor of privatizing everything. And it does make some sense because the owner has a real incentive to protect it. So environmentalism is not a uniquely democratic thing because Republicans would want sort of private ownership of natural resources and lands and things like that, which does create incentive to protect it.
It's interesting. You were talking about how nobody owns the environment, and I feel like you see the same thing socially today too. And maybe this is just me or the fact that I live in a big city and there's just so many people that you pass on the street each day that you don't stop to talk to people like you do in a smaller town. But I feel like our individualism is at an all-time high. And, I live in a walkable part of town and I see the same people when I'm out and about every day, but I don't know hardly any of their names. And I stop to say hi to people. I'm pretty neighborly. I'm a pretty socially awkward person. So I think about things like that. But people just aren't interested in community like they used to be, or maybe it's that they don't know how to go about getting it.
Like America almost goes too far in the freedom. If you have freedom for absolutely everything, they actually get like lower scores in international democracy monitors and stuff like this because then you have this massive wealth disparity, like billionaires and then really poor people.
Right. Well, you can't have everything.
And then elections are basically bought by money.
Mm-hmm. That's because all the candidates are backed by banks who who have lots of money and they're just looking for a good and solid investment. And so by buying their place in the candidate's corner, they get to use the candidate for their own personal message.
Yeah, the Koch brothers and lobbyists. I mean, America is basically owned by business because it's so free. If you have too much freedom, you have these business interests taking over and it becomes almost an oligarchy of these businesses, right?
Right.
Sort of running the country with their money.
Yeah. And it's that system that is the reason that Donald Trump is the president, is because it's the system that anybody who can sway the masses or sway a bank, that anybody who has power with their brand can become a president. If you have enough power with your brand, you can become the president in this country.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Donald Trump did. He did an amazing job getting to that Oval Office. He got right in.
I mean, this competition really was why America had the revolution, to be free. But it also drives a lot of the things we see in America today, like the religiosity, for example. America is the most religious Western country we have, right? And one of the reasons is because of this competition, right? So there's churches competing for congregations. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a capitalist society of religion, right? Greece, their temples were run sort of as a public service, right? And people weren't really all that religious. But in Rome, religion was privatized.
In what year?
I don't know the specific year. Rome conquered Greece, essentially, in the 140s BC.
Right,
yeah, like 2,000 years ago.
Right.
But it was sort of gradual over time. But anyway, so the temples were run sort of privately, just like the churches in America. And so there was this massive incentive for them to attract followers and attract money and attract support. And then religion really took off because it's this kind of business where people bring in money and they wanted it to do really well. Like if you're just running a temple for public good, someone comes along and you do what you're going to do and you have the prophecies or whatever. But if you're in Rome and people are like giving donations to it and stuff like that,
selling stuff in the market.
Right. There's a real incentive to make it good. And that's what happens in America too. And that's why you have like all these different branches that came out, right? Like in England, they have basically Anglican. That's the Church of England. But in America, you have all these different religions competing for followers. So it's this capitalism of religion. And it's the same thing in America that you see all over the place. It's the healthcare debate we're having right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like most, so most
Western civil- thing. That's the other interesting thing about the ability to live the way that we live is it does, if you're not careful, kind of breed a system where everybody's like pumping out the same stuff. Everybody's pumping and trying to have the best version of the same stuff.
But it will always be run in the spirit of making money. And that's what America is really all about.
Right.
Is
scenery changes, but it's all about money.
Right. People always think the country is going to shit. And I think this is a little bit like, hell in a handbasket. So your grandmother always says that the country's going to hell in a handbasket. It's probably your grandfather, actually, that says that, right? But people always thought sort of the end of the world was near or a catastrophe was on the horizon. But in every way, the world is getting much better. You know, poverty rates have gone dramatically down.
That's true.
Disease is no longer like a major issue in the world. The world's getting less violent. There's far less. So even, you know, we talk about gun violence in America today and...
which is interesting because you would think that it's getting more violent with all this stuff about ISIS and stuff like that. But that's all. It's almost like and I'm not trying to belittle ISIS here. I mean, I'm not because it's awful. But it kind of reminds me with how much it's in the media. I've had to stop looking at the news. I can't tell you the last time I even looked at a news feed I still hear about the news through word of mouth if something important happens. But I just got tired of looking at all these like terrible things that were happening. And you're right. The world is becoming less violent. Our life expectancy is increasing. But it's the media is trying to tell us that it's becoming more violent and that we're getting sicker every day. And it's because there's a lot of money in that story. There's a lot of incentive to keep that story, that lie going.
We do definitely respond to the wrong things. We're afraid of the wrong things. Like we're afraid of terrorism and plane crashes and things like this. But planes are 100 times safer than cars. Terrorism is... less of a threat than kitchen knives, scissors around your house.
Statistically?
I mean, yeah, statistically.
You had a great statistic you told me once. You told me, you didn't tell me this. I read it in your book. you figured out statistically that it's more dangerous to eat a donut than it is to drive a car.
Well, dramatically. I mean, the number one killer is heart disease. Why are we not afraid of donuts? I mean, statistically, people have more of a chance of drowning in a bucket, falling downstairs.
That's what the pilot should be saying to these people on flights that are freaking out because of turbulence and stuff. He'd be like, sir, I know you're very afraid, but have you ever had a donut?
Have you ever been to an airport? Like if you look at LAX, Los Angeles Airport at night, there's plane after plane.
Right.
There's like 100,000 flights around the world every day.
Really?
And how many plane accidents do you hear about?
I feel like you hear about one every now and then, but you never hear about every single one that lands.
Right. You don't hear about the success stories.
Right. Because there's too many. Another one landed? Oh, I don't need to hear this.
Exactly. I mean, plane accidents are really so incredibly rare that they're big news when they happen. Terrorism is so incredibly rare that it's big news when it happens. The fact that it's big news means that we should not be afraid of it at all.
Exactly. When you see it in the news, it's not scary. That means, wow,
right.
That was really sad that some tragedy happened.
Of course.
Thank God that's over.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. It's not like terrorism is no threat at all. It's just that your run-of-the-mill everyday terrorism is not really very threatening to your actual chances of survival.
Right. And that's not to belittle anybody listening who may have lost somebody in something like that, or, you know, it doesn't make it any less sad or terrible when it happens. But what we're talking about is the idea of the fear that gets put into people's brains through the media that this is like going to happen to you next.
Right. Absolutely.
And you know, it's the reason why when, you know, a plane crashes, people don't go on flights for like months. They're like, oh, I'm not taking a plane. Did you hear about that plane that just crashed? And when in reality, that's probably the safest time to be flying is immediately after a plane crash, because you know every airline's going to be checking their planes because they don't want to be in the media.
That's true.
You know, they're going to be working twice as hard to make sure that plane doesn't crash.
Yeah, bad news sells. I mean, people respond to bad news in a much stronger way. I mean, fear is the biggest driver of human behavior. I mean, it's why we spend so much on the military, I think, is because people are afraid. Fear is a bigger driver than science or curiosity or exploration.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's really sad. It's just that it doesn't sell. There's no money in the truth.
Yep.
There's no money in not the truth. There's no money in positivity.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's one major downside of America, because I feel like you don't see that as much in other countries that aren't driven by capitalism, because the news in those places is kind of more of a public service.
Well, yeah,
I mean, it is
extent.
Still a business, but it's not as fear driven. It's not as and that's probably going to change, unfortunately. I mean, I think it's eventually going to have to change everywhere.
News used to be a loss leader. So basically they would spend money on researching what happened, and they would tell you what happened. But the goal was to get you to watch their channel so you'd watch their other programming and see their commercials and stuff. So they'd lose money on the news. Not anymore. I mean, there's...
Now it's probably the most...
Right. No, it actually really is. People tune in for the news, and they're sort of fixated to their televisions.
They want to be terrified.
But you're right. Like, so the BBC in 1930 had this story. There's no news tonight, so here's a sample of classical music.
Why can't we do that? I want to go back to those days. That sounds like quite a life. Just sitting down, just sitting there. Oh, there's no news tonight. Nothing happened tonight. Wow, that's nice.
Yep. We've had the 2.5 millionth flight successfully landing at LAX with no accidents of any kind.
Really?
That's the news.
How many?
No, I don't know that number, but I'm just making up.
Well, you sounded very official.
Thank you. Thank you very much. No, but I mean, I'm just saying that could be the news that you've had. Like, the news could be this positive thing that, oh, wow, look how many flights we've had with no accidents.
Right.
It would never be news.
It'll never be news.
America has a really high disparity in income. So it's like the 1%. The 1% are like really rich, right? And then it's got a lot of people who are, you know, not that well off. And
I was just going to ask you about the middle. What do you think about the middle class disappearing?
Yeah, yeah. So this ultra-capitalism does potentially erode the middle class, mm-hmm. right? And then you get, you know, poor people who can't afford to go to universities or schools or anything like that. They grow up in poor neighborhoods. The schools are locally funded, right? In Canada, actually, the schools are federally funded. So schools are a lot more sort of equal in a sense. Like they're not this huge disparity between really good schools and really bad schools. And I think that's important because, you know, the American dream is all based on social mobility. So if you work hard, pull your bootstraps up, you're going to get ahead, right? So the idea is that anyone should be able to, regardless of the circumstance, work really hard and kind of make it in America, right? And I think that if you have this ultra-capitalist system, it kind of, America gets run by the businesses with the money and inheritance and stuff like this. And it's hard for new people to actually get ahead. In fact, that ability to get ahead has been declining. So back in the 60s, you really could make it if you worked really hard. But now it's much, much harder. If you don't have a great education, you can't really get ahead in America anymore. So it's kind of gone a little bit too far to some extent.
What do you think that is? Is it the businesses getting too rich? The business is having too much power.
It is money and politics. I think that's definitely really important. So people can buy interest in Washington and sway voters. And that's really important. So I think that would be one of the main things, but it's, as you accumulate wealth, your position becomes really secure and stagnant. So, you know, like capital gains tax in America. So this is kind of a dry topic maybe for most, but basically capital gains tax, if you invest your money and don't earn it, you actually pay a lower tax rate than if you had earned your money. So the reason it's like this is basically that you want people to invest in America, so that you want them to spend their money in America and invest in companies. So from that standpoint, it makes sense because it's sort of encouraging people to invest in America and not invest overseas and have foreign people invest in America too, right? Right. But it also means that people who are really rich, they earn most of their money through investments. This is why Donald Trump can get away with paying very low taxes. Like, he pays millions of dollars in taxes, but that's on really high incomes. And as a percentage, he pays much lower than even a middle class person. And the reason is for a number of reasons, but basically it's because his income is based on investments, not work. So Donald Trump doesn't work to earn money. He invests to earn money, right? In businesses and real estate and stuff like that, right?
Right.
And we...
Well, there's a huge group of the population here that only live on interest from their investments. And they don't work. And they've made so much money, they can put the money in the bank. And they live on the interest that it generates each month.
Exactly.
Or each year.
And they pay less taxes than someone who would have earned that money.
Right.
I mean, it's a system that sort of perpetuates inequality in a way. And especially with like an education system that is locally funded and hard to get.
It perpetuates inequality.
Yeah. I really think that the American system at this point sort of does perpetuate inequality. There is still that ability, but it's sort of going in that direction, right? And if you're rich, you stay rich, and especially with like this inheritance tax. And one of the things Republicans really want to do is cut the inheritance tax. And I guess there's some sort of capitalist reasoning for that as well. If you earn money, you want to be able to pass it on to your kids. What's the point? You know, you're going to die. Everyone's going to die someday. And what can you do with your money after you die? The only thing you can really do is, well, philanthropy and sort of donate it to causes you believe in. The other thing you do is leave it to your kids, right? So, I mean, it sort of makes sense to be able to leave it to your kids. Why should the government be able to, you know, take that money, right?
Right.
But it also means that if you're rich, your kids are going to be rich, their kids are going to be rich, and forever, their whole line is going to be rich, and people who don't have that money are not going to be rich.
Right.
So I think that the U.S. is very individualistic, but there's still kind of a driving force for, you know, trying to maintain access to the American dream for all, right? And that's something that we think is important and we really fight for in this country. So there's this kind of tension between these, and it really does go back to the beginning of America.
Every moment we get, everything we have is, it's up to us to decide what to do with it. And, you know, when we started this country, we were unhappy with what we had. So a bunch of people came here looking for something new, probably pushed by their fear and their hope, probably equal parts hope and fear that they weren't going to find what they needed where they were and hope that they could get it elsewhere. And that's a powerful motivator. You got some, you had some funny things you told me on the phone, stats about things that make America unique. Can we talk about some of this?
Yeah, sure, sure. Really. Like America is number one in certain things, right?
Right.
One of the, so some
in
of them
everything.
Are, so one of them is opinion of itself. So Americans believe they're number one more than any other country.
Well, we are.
Yeah, right. Exactly. yeah, I mean, America is definitely the wealthiest country in the world by far. It's not the wealthiest per capita, but it's pretty close, actually. So one of the wealthier ones per capita, I think the wealthiest one per capita is actually Liechtenstein, but America is definitely the wealthiest sort of big country. The other ones that are ahead of it,
are you like a robot humanoid, like operating on AI or something that's connected to the internet? Are you like Googling all this right now?
Well, I did Google it earlier today, but I was sort of aware of it anyway. But
you know too much. So what are some of these other ones you got on here?
The bad ones are the good ones.
Just what you got. Let's hit me.
Well, I've got time wasted online.
Okay, so let's
on the internet.
So America's number one for time wasted online.
Yep.
What quantifies time wasted?
Time spent, I suppose.
Time spent. Okay. Time, because sometimes
there's a difference.
Sometimes there's really something great on Reddit.
All right. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Watching television.
That doesn't surprise me.
Probably reality TV as well. World Series and Super Bowl wins, but no one else competes in those.
True. A brilliant observation.
Yeah. I used my powers of deduction for that one. Jean shorts, and Google searches for jean shorts.
Wait.
Yeah,
they're called, number one for jean shorts?
Yeah, apparently.
What does that mean?
Jorts, I think people call them. Yeah, is that a thing?
I've heard it called jorts.
I've never heard it called jorts.
I don't personally call them jorts. Don't like how that feels coming out of my mouth. It feels like a dirty word, jorts.
Yeah, but some good ones. I mean, so America is the number one country for patents and inventions and stuff. So I think even today, sort of this capitalist system, it does drive, you know, this incentive to create and build and...
Jean shorts.
Yeah, things like jean shorts. but I think that, in you know, useful things as well. So.
Well, thanks so much for coming, Andrew. Really a pleasure having you here. You've got a board game I want to tell people about because you gave me a copy of it, and I think it fits right in with this whole theme of America. Why don't you tell people about it? It's called Politics.
I mean, I always describe it as the Daily Show in a game. So it's you play scandals on each other trying
to
win.
It's like a fun, it's like a comedic, satirical.
It's like 20 minutes
game about American politics.
Satirical game about American politics because American politics is interesting
and really funny.
Kind of funny, yeah. Weird, I would say. America's weird in both good and bad ways. Yeah.
If you guys want to follow Andrew, you've got a Twitter. It's at Mars Raider, right?
Yep.
MarsRader. Or you can just Google his name. All of his stuff will pop up. Andrew Raider. Andrew, thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks very much. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. I want to hear your thoughts. Drop me a line. hello@spellboundshow.com. Tell me what you think of the conversation Andrew and I just had. It is unfortunate, all the negativity that we're surrounded by in the media and entertainment and through advertising. But I believe there is no escaping it. So the conversation about it is probably the most important thing we can do. Everything we have is up to us to decide what to do with. And I just love that we are all here talking about this stuff. So hope you're all having a great first week of 2018. And I look forward to seeing you next week for episode 2 of my new podcast, Spellbound. Thanks for listening.